Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets, More Than Money Edition.
Caitlin Sirian, she is an ex-TikTok cybersecurity lead. So she's a tech influencer, and she wants to help you guys protect and secure your data online and break into the tech industry. So anything as it relates to engineering, cybersecurity, she has built an amazing community, and she's here to support any of us in any way, help us build our network, and help us flourish in tech. So if you have questions on just the inner workings of TikTok and the algorithm of TikTok, and I mean, cybersecurity now more than ever is so important. If this stuff gets hacked, it's at jeopardy. It's like your bank account being hacked. So Caitlin's going to help us through that as we have questions. If you have questions and you want to come on and ask Caitlin a question, put it in the chat or I will unmute guys and make sure you can come on. But with that being said, Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us. Caitlin, first question I got for you. I mean, TikTok, the growth has been absolutely insanity. You have left TikTok, but you started with them. When did you start with them? And how did just the inner workings of the company change over just this crazy material growth we've seen in the last 3 years?
Yeah. So I always wanted to, I'll give you a little bit of background. I always wanted to start my TikTok right after they moved from their China to the US. So I actually specifically specialize in data privacy and data protection. So I was living in the UK for a few years. I'm helping with GDPR, but I was recommending to my clients to not use TikTok until they moved over to the US. And obviously their massive growth allowed them to partner with Oracle and move their servers over to the US. So they all sit in the US. And once they started doing that, I was like, you know, TikTok is the most incredible platform. You can reach so many people with it. And I started my journey with TikTok and my cybersecurity channel. And ironically, TikTok reached out to me to actually speak for them at a conference. And it was crazy. I was like, I ended up not being able to do it. I had some conflicts with work, but we stayed connected and this amazing opportunity to work for them came up. And I'm going to be completely honest. I was expecting it to be kind of a cluster when I got in just because of the news. I was like, I have my work cut out for me. And I got into the company and I was so pleasantly surprised with at least with their cybersecurity practices and the employees that work there, like ex-FBI agents, CIA agents. They are extremely organized and there's a lot of conspiracy theories as to why I think they continue to hit the news. But I used to be a consultant for 8 years before I started TikTok, and I did consulting for many of the other competitors, and it was crazy what I saw happening. So I was expecting that when I got to TikTok, and I was so pleasantly surprised that it wasn't actually like that. So,
all right. So I'm not a huge believer in conspiracy theories, but I am one that's very entertained by conspiracy theories. Like I love to just hear them all. It's entertaining. What are some of the, you mentioned conspiracy theories, like what are some of those that are out there for us that don't know just about like what could be happening in TikTok, or what's like your favorite one or one that like always caught your eye that people would say?
I guess it's not what can be happening in TikTok, but the reasons why everyone's so out against them is probably because they're the one platform that the US doesn't have full control over. Their algorithm is like top secret. And I mean, I think the other competitors are very much controlled by US and big companies within the US. And so they can, you know, use them how they will, but they can't do that with TikTok. And I think that's why it's a big scary thing for most politicians here. And it's not actually I mean, it might be because of the China thing, but I can tell you that I feel extremely, I've seen the inner workings, and everything that is said is just, it's completely blown out of proportion. So I honestly think it's because the US can't control it. And not in like a bad way of controlling, but they just have no way of like force feeding us specific information. And yeah, the news usually force feeds us some information that, yeah, it's all totally. That's my conspiracy theory.
No, I think that's like so fascinating. And I actually agree with really everything you're saying here. I'll just, one more reminder to everyone, you have questions, throw them in the chat. You want to come on and ask a question, please come on in. Caitlin was an ex-TikTok cybersecurity lead. So that is out there. All right. So Caitlin, we talked a little bit about the conspiracy theories. Let's talk about the fact you got hired by them. That is a very unconventional way to get hired by an employer. And what I find intriguing, and hopefully some of our All Access members do, you said TikTok hired you for speaking. So first and foremost, how did that come about? Did they reach out to you? What was that process like? Just tell us a little bit how they even found you. And if someone wanted to like get a hold of the TikTok world gods, like where do you even start?
Yeah, so their head of all of global cybersecurity reached out to me to come to a conference and like, you know, talk to their employees just about cybersecurity best practices. So what people don't realize is there's really two forms of cybersecurity, right? There's like training your employees, because honestly, your employees are your biggest, your weakest link, and you're only as strong as your weakest link. So it was more to just make cybersecurity more available and educational to their employees, just to make sure, just because we work at TikTok, not everyone, you know, there's marketing, there's sales, just like every other business. And so not everyone is really focused on cybersecurity. So it was really asking me to speak about and bring cybersecurity into a more positive light and more fun and educational view, rather than it just being like, we all know those typical trainings that in corporate where you kind of just check the box and it's not really helpful. But yeah, that's kind of how it started. And then we continue just to talk. I love their leadership team. It's amazing. And yeah, I was very intrigued, and this role came up and I was like, yeah, I would love to be part of the team. And I'm a huge advocate of the platform. I mean, obviously every social media platform, there's, you know, blessings and curses, I guess. But I think there's so much good that can be had with social media that outweigh the bad. So I'm very passionate about all social media platforms, not just TikTok. But yeah, that's kind of how it came about, of how I got asked. And It was pretty cool.
Cool. I'm going to let you think about it, because I'm going to ask you the golden question. If I gave you $100,000 right now and you had to bet, will TikTok be banned in 5 years from now in the United States? Will it be? Don't answer it yet. Think about it. Before we get to that, let me ask you this. The biggest cybersecurity threat, all of us here on this All Access group and anybody that sees Trading Secrets on our Instagram page or as a listener, what is the biggest cybersecurity threat we are facing right now with our social media, and what can we do about it?
It's like human risk. I think we're our own worst enemy when it comes to this, and it's because we've never been educated. We've been given technology literally since we were children, and no one actually knows how to use it. No one knows really how it works, and we're not told how to keep it safe. And so I think just human risk, and it's not because we're like maliciously trying to do it, but it's because we just don't know any better, which is why I really started this journey and education. Obviously, there's going to be bad actors everywhere, all over the world, but if us as humans know how to protect ourselves, it won't be that bad.
Okay. What is one thing that you, like the basic most 101 thing, I'm big on takeaways, that all of us here can walk away doing today to put our social medias, our online presence in a better, more secure manner? What is one thing we could all do?
Oh man, there's so many things. And they're pretty easy.
Give us like three. Give us your top three.
I'll give you three. So the first one is passwords. I hate saying this because it sounds so annoying. And I understand that it sounds annoying, but passwords are a big thing. Make them secure, make them long, make them complex. There's a lot of different theories around like, okay, should you have different passwords for everyone? There's also companies like that have their password managers that you can use that store the like secure passwords. And then, yeah, there's just passwords are really, really important. So I would really focus on that. The next one is multi-factor authentication, which really is like authenticating yourself in two ways, right? Just today, I got an email saying someone tried to reset my Instagram password. And I'm like, wasn't me. But because I have multi-factor authentication and they texted me, these people aren't getting in. So like, and it's not that hard to turn on. It's a very simple step. So at least those two for sure are like basic standard things that you guys should do. Yeah, that's probably the easiest takeaway, those two.
What's interesting is there's someone actually that's going to be on the finale of The Bachelor tonight that I manage. And ironically, right before this, he had someone try and go into his Instagram account and hack it. He sent me the screenshot of it. And the first thing I said to him is like, double authentication. So that's a big one. When you say password, like my passwords are the most basic bullshit in the world.
Your dog's name?
So who is actually, explain to me from a tech standpoint, like who's actually going in there and trying to guess your password? Or is it actually like AI and computers that are just running thousands of passwords at a time? Like, how's it actually work?
So there's a standard set of like most common passwords that are run against most of these, most users' accounts. Then whenever your name is involved in a data breach, those passwords are leaked. And so then those passwords are now affiliated with that specific email or login or username. And so it's really easy for people to find and run those passwords. And then there's a really easy algorithm what you can do, like changes. Let's say like your password was, you know, your dog's name. So then they obviously knew that it used to be your dog's name, but then there's a script that allows them to generate 10,000 different variations of like your dog's name one, your dog's name exclamation point, your dog's name 123. So like even changing it by like one letter, it like doesn't do anything. And it's because it's out there. So, and data breaches happen all the time, like not purposely. A lot of times it's ransomware, other threat actors. But once there's a data breach, and there's actually a website that you can go on to see which accounts that you have that have been breached. And it's the haveibeenpwned.com, but I can give it to your followers in a second, or I can write it in the chat. But it literally lists
in the chat.
Yeah. It literally lists every single account, when it was breached, and the credentials and everything that they got. And if any of those credentials are still being used on any of your other accounts, it's very easy for someone to just go in, and or if you haven't changed those passwords or like updated it by like one, it's not that hard to get for people to get in if they want to get in. Obviously, there's not like crazy malicious people that want to try everyone's, but everyone can be a target. And I mean, my mom was targeted, and I'm like, I don't know why she's targeted, but maybe because they were trying to get to me. I don't know. But like, you just never know. So it's just better to be safe than sorry.
Okay. The questions are starting to pile in. I think that's a great piece of advice. If you could, we're going to have one person come on and ask a question. If you could just take a minute and put it in the chat, that website, that would be really, really good for us all to walk away with. While you're doing that, Caitlin, let's get a question from the chat. And let's start with Hillary. Caitlin, put it in there. Have I been password?
Pond.
Okay. They're missing the A.
It's actually pwned, but I say pond. And actually my first viral video, I said pond and people like exploded on me. They're like, you can't be in cybersecurity if you don't know how to say pwned. And I'm like, it's the weirdest phrase. Just leave it alone.
Anyway. Yeah. All right, Hillary, come on. What do you got?
Yeah. So I put this in the chat, but I use a password manager. I know there's a couple out there and I use 1Password, and I feel like it took me a while to set it up. But now when I set up new accounts or need to change my password, it just uses like the auto-generated. But I also know that those kinds of companies have also been hacked. So I was curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I actually use 1Password too. So amazing. There are some that get hacked, and it's the way that they're storing credentials. And so LastPassword is an example of a password manager that you don't want to use because they store credentials in an old school way. It's kind of complicated on how everything's stored. But I trust 1Password. At LastPass, I would definitely not do. I think they've had like 6 breaches in the last like 10 years or something ridiculous. But yeah, that's a great question. It just depends on how that company. Another really good one is Keeper Security. It's about how that company is storing passwords, and like if they're storing it locally on you know, servers, and then it's easy for people to get in, or if it's just communicating between two of their servers and it's harder because it's not actually being stored. It's being stored somewhere in between your device and their servers.
Cool. Thank you.
That's a great question, Hillary.
Awesome. Kaylee, I saw you had a question. He says, is there a program that you would recommend that checks for any breaches your accounts could have? I think you said that though before, haveibeenpwned.com. So that would answer that question, right? Just using haveibeenpwned.com, Caitlin.
Yeah, I would definitely use that because that shows literally all the breaches. And it was made by like I think it's an ex-FBI or CIA agent. So it's been around for a while too. The other thing is, a lot of people ask me, how can they tell if someone's like in their account or like if they've been hacked? And there's, I mean, obviously my social media has a lot of tips on how to look and check, but there's a lot of ways to tell who's been logged into accounts at this point. So like Google, you can tell who's like what devices are logged in and where they're logged in from. WhatsApp, your Apple account, like there's a lot of accounts that you can kind of just double check to make sure that people aren't like logged in and like looking through your stuff.
Perfect. Okay. That's great. And great question, Kaylee. All right. Julie has a few questions. So Julie, I'm going to let you come on and fire away.
All right. Hey, Caitlin, I have a question for you. How do you stay safe and private when you're growing your company as a personal brand?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I guess my question back to you is, what's your definition of safe and private?
I'm very paranoid, so I don't want anyone to know where I live or come after me for money, because I'm in the make money online space. So the more you advertise how much you make online, you get more customers, but then you're putting a target on your back. So
you don't want to come on Trading Secrets and talk about how much you made this past year?
I might have already done that, actually. I was a listener call-in. Remember that?
True.
But I've been thinking more about that. And it's one of the reasons it kind of stops me from wanting to put myself out there.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I mean, as a cybersecurity person on TikTok, I'm like, I have the biggest target on my back because people just want to try to hack the cybersecurity girl. I use a lot of different platforms. One of them is Delete Me. It helps, literally it scans and deletes your information off of the main data servers. So I would definitely start with that. I started doing it manually a long time ago, and actually some of my viral videos are like how you can go about doing it manually. But honestly, I don't know how much it is, maybe like $100 a year or something. It's worth it because they find it all. I think they scan like 1,200 websites, and most of them are like the main data broker websites, and they remove your information and you give them like all sorts of like combinations of like where you've previously lived and all that stuff. And then they scan every single website. So I've lived in like 12 different states, honestly, in the last like 6 years. And so even different states have records of you different ways. So I honestly kind of swear by Delete Me because I don't have the time to go about finding my first and last name in every state that I've ever lived in or done anything in. And they go every couple months and recheck to make sure that your stuff's not there. The other thing is, don't give out your real information. Like if you have a Google Voice number, start using that. There's also a new company called Cloaked, which I think is still in beta. I think it's launching in September. But they allow you to generate real working phone numbers, emails, and passwords and like assign it to, like if you want to do a rewards program at Starbucks, like you can do it on your app. And it's similar to Google Voice where everything will go through your app. Emails will go through your app. Text messages will go through your app. And you can have it forwarded to your real phone, but at least it's not your real stuff. So I've just started giving out like, not like fake numbers, but like not my real stuff. And I would just try to avoid like whenever they ask to track cookies, I like make sure I usually set that to do not track cookies. Anytime you try to like buy something new on a website, I just try to avoid my digital footprint. And if I have to do it, I kind of like span it out to like random ones that I generate from this app. So I'm trying to avoid, I mean, obviously I'm kind of all out there, but with my personal information, there's a lot of ways that now that you can like kind of manage who you're sharing that with. Like even people I meet at like bars, or I don't even know, like conferences, like I don't give out my real information to anyone anymore because you can get so much information even off of a phone number. Like I can look up the reverse phone number, search you and probably find your first and last name, like your home address, your parents' home address, like so many things.
How do you do that? I have a lot of random calls these days.
Yeah, I think it's called like reverse phone search or reverse phone lookup. There's a lot of things that you can do because your phone, like for every single data broker website, a phone number is attached to it. So this software really allows them to just like re-engineer that and pull the information from that. Usually you have to pay, but even with like pictures of people, like you can literally, there's software that you can input a picture and it will show all the similar pictures, like Google image search. And like some people like find me on like LinkedIn. So that was like an issue when I started working at TikTok. They were like, okay, well, they can reverse Google image search you and realize that you work at TikTok. And I'm like, okay, cool. But yeah, so it's just making sure that you kind of reduce your digital footprint and then make sure when you are giving information, it's try to not give your real one or give a like Google Voice or something else.
If you had multiple people sharing one social account for a company, would you use the Google Voice for the company like email address? Or would you do something else? Because we lock each other out if it's someone's personal cell phone.
Yeah, so I'm trying to understand the question. You're saying like there's like three of you that are all on the same Instagram like business account, and then every time you kind of kick each other out, do you do it on purpose? Are you asking if it's like on purpose or?
I mean, anytime we try to set up two-factor auth, I mean, it could be for anything, like bank account, whatever. If it's to one of our email or phones, then we're kind of like locking the group out. So we thought, oh, let's use Google Voice. But now I'm like, is that a bad idea? It sounds like it's not, but is it bad if it's like the company Google Voice, if it's like the same thing? Because it could go to the email and someone could get in that way.
Yeah, if it's a company Google Voice that goes to the same email authentication, I wouldn't do it. But if the Google Voice is attached to like a different company email, like just I would just generate like a different company email, like one off, and have it go to that Google Voice. Because every Google email, you can generate a Google Voice number. Also, I just found out a couple of months ago, Google's been cracking down on Google Voice. So if you're not using it frequently, they are kicking people off the platform because there's just so many Google, like people using Google and they don't have the space. So just be wary if you're using Google Voice and you only use it like once every like 6 months and it's like your password for something, try to use it more a little bit more often because I don't want you guys to get kicked out and then the number reassigned and then you're going to not be able to log in. So
thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Can you post the link to Delete Me? Worried fake ones would show Hillary show up in a Google search. Tell me more about that.
I didn't get talking about what the program was called. It was an app called Delete Me or is it a website?
It's kind of both. I go through the website because at the beginning, you do have to give I had to give a lot of information just because I want them to delete like everything. I even gave like my brother's name, my sister's name, because I'm like, if I'm attached to them on theirs, then I need theirs to be deleted too, because I don't want any tie. I don't want them to get hacked either. But yeah, it's a website and an app. I think it's an app. I just do the website.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, question about just the industry, you know, Trading Secrets. Sounds very technical. It sounds like this is like extremely, you know, forward thinking and well ahead of the curve. I mean, you're trying to outthink and outperform and create solutions against some of the smartest hackers in the world. From like a salary range perspective, entry level to like high level, just give us a high understanding of cybersecurity. What does it look like?
Yeah. So it's funny that you say technical because I truly believe that technical is more of like the coding hacking side. But there's so many other sides. So in my head, cybersecurity is like a science, right? There's so many types of sciences, chemistry, there's biology. But because of that, there's so many areas where like, yes, there are areas that are technical that you're going to have to like, you know, outthink the hacker and like try to code them and whatever. But there's also so many areas that aren't, which is like, you know, training and awareness, governance, risk and compliance, data privacy, data protection. And honestly, like you said, you have to outthink the hacker. So there's a lot of people that have like psychology degrees and stuff like that because we need literally every type of person in cybersecurity. It's so broad. So I like to think there's like non-technical buckets of cyber and technical buckets of cyber. I don't think I'm technical at all. I do not know how to code anymore. I did mechanical engineering in college. So I did two classes of coding and they were my worst. I think I barely passed. I think I got C minuses in both. So I'm not good at coding, but I am good at understanding how things work. I'm good at communicating and like data protection, privacy, that there's lawyers involved in that. So from a salary range, it really depends on like what area you want to get into too. But I would say in general in the US, probably starting 70, 80K, 60 to 80K, maybe if you're doing remote. And then it goes honestly a little nuts. So like it's kind of low at the first 3 years, but after 3 or 4 years of being in cyber, you're in the 150 to 250 range as a base.
Okay. Amazing. Very interesting. All right. I'm going to come back. We're going to go to Alyssa's question a second. Before we do, I'm going to go back to that $100,000 question. $100,000, you double your money if you're right. Is TikTok banned in the United States in 5 years from now? What do you think?
I'm going to say I hope not. But also, given the state of the U.S., I don't have a lot of faith. So I don't know. I'm going to say I hope not.
But. Okay. I hope not. So we're going to say no. We'll see. We're going to put that on. No. We'll follow back up in 5 years and see what happens. Okay. We walked over some things that you could do to protect yourself. We went over the salary range, talked a little bit about the inner workings of TikTok. The last thing I got to end with is just, shopping question here. Okay. I'll get to that in a second. I got to get to like anything. You're in the influencing space, and then also you work for TikTok. Are there any things behind the scenes as it relates to like the algorithm or social media or just anything that you've had in like the think tank of TikTok conversations that just us typical average consumers would never be able to understand, know, or hear? Could you give us like a trading secret?
Yeah. So I can give you a trading secret from my personal experience, but not, I couldn't even get verified when I worked at TikTok. Like I like reached out to people and they were like, no. And I'm like, this is actually an issue because if someone says they're me and I work for you guys, like you need to verify me. I actually didn't get verified until after I left. So people always ask me, can you like set me up with verification? I'm like, I can't help you with that. But I can say it's, in my opinion, it's a numbers game. I think hooks are really, really important for and like the way that it's set up. But I honestly think it's the consistency of it. And I think that's how every platform is now because they want as much content as possible. Yeah, that's pretty, there's really no trading secrets. The algorithm is based on user preference. So I like that's the easiest and simplest way to say it. And people are like, oh, what about? And I'm like, no, I mean, it's literally based, it's SEO now. So I will say like TikTok is trying to compete with Google. And so you want to make long caption. You want to make it SEO friendly because if you think about it, TikTok is what, you know, the Gen Zers are using as Google. Everyone's searching for response, like, you know, searching questions, and it's easier, honestly, to follow. Like I broke a light and I couldn't figure out how to get the light bulb out. And I literally searched on TikTok more than Google because I actually have a 1 minute video that will teach me immediately rather than reading a blog. So to me, it's like you make it SEO friendly because TikTok is trying to be, I think it's trying to be the next Google and be like the best search engine for it and educational platform as well. And then just post as often as possible. I think that's the best thing to do.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I use TikTok all the time. Like if I'm traveling somewhere, best restaurants in the area, and then you get to actually see the food, see the restaurants way better than YouTube or Google. So that's a really, really good piece of advice. Okay, we have a shopping question here. So is there a lot of issues with just online shopping as far as security goes when you're inputting all this information, your credit card information? Sometimes in Google, you just click the button, it fills it all in. And is there any takeaway we should be aware of when online shopping and putting in all this information?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one is verify that the online shopping platform is like legit. Obviously, like Amazon, that makes sense. But there's so many random websites that pop up from like Instagram or whatever that are not based in the US, which is totally fine if it's not based in the US, but they might be based in a little bit sketchier countries and they're, you know, ripping off photos from other places. And it just, I would just one, make sure that the website is legit. And there is actually a few websites that you can check where it scans and it will tell you like how long the website's been up and running, where it's based, and if there's like any red flags. Also, the easiest way to tell is if it's an HTTPS, but S is secure. If it's an HTTP, I probably wouldn't buy anything off of it. And I would never buy anything off of an HTTP www site. So the S means secure. You're good usually. But there's a few things that you can check to make sure that those websites are secure before you buy. And then the next thing, again, like I said, is try not to give all of your information out, like all of your personal details. Like if it's not required, don't do it. And if they force you to do it, like I don't even half the time I like say Kat Sarah or like Kate something else. Like even when you're like making a reservation online, I don't even give my real name. Not that it could go like that far off, but I just don't want continuing records of like where I've been. So I would just be wary of like, again, what data that you're giving to these random websites, because surprisingly, these smaller websites are worse because the bigger websites are very much governed and sanctioned by laws and regulations. And they're constantly getting checked and sued, et cetera. But it's the smaller websites that really don't have the bandwidth or the capacity or the knowledge to realize that they have to abide by certain laws. And so I actually think the smaller websites are the ones that you should be more weary about. Like, this sounds bad, but like the mom and pop websites that like really just have no idea, store your data probably on their local computer. And like, if they get breached and all this data is gone. So I would just, one, be wary of the website. There's a few websites that you can use to check if a website's legit. And then don't give out your information if you don't need to.
Okay. I think that's brilliant, brilliant advice. Actually, tying that to the talent agency we run, when we're working with other public figures and we're doing deals with them, obviously there's just so much PR risk when someone is putting their stamp of approval. And a lot of people have fallen victim to approving and endorsing companies and deals that are just garbage or like complete fraud. So we actually have to go through a vetting system similar to the things you're referring to make sure that all companies are 100% safe, secure, and just everything is at completely cleaned up just because the risk is so high out there. So it's interesting. Some of those tips you gave us are tips that we have when we go through the process of vetting. And like you said, the small mom pop shops are usually the ones we have to turn away from just because of potential liability risks. So that's interesting. All right. We actually have someone in here. Tanya said that she is just starting her cybersecurity degree. So this info is timely and very helpful to her. If you have one piece of advice for Tanya, she's starting it. What would you say, Kaylin?
I say, there's two. One is continue your passion. You're never going to know everything and you have to keep learning. And two is to network like crazy. I think everyone's like, oh, I need to focus on certifications. And I always say, obviously you need to learn if you're going to coding, you need to learn how to code. But for non-technical roles, it's really your network is your net worth. And I strongly believe that if you're spending 10 hours a day studying for a certification versus if you spend 10 hours a day networking with people on LinkedIn, I think you'd have a way better chance of getting a job right now in this job environment. So I think just continue to have a passion for learning and exploring and never stop that. But if you're going a non-technical route in cyber, I would definitely say try to network as much as possible on LinkedIn and other platforms.
One built relationship, one message on LinkedIn, one handshake, one cup of coffee, one drink, and shortcut literally 10 years of work. So I couldn't agree more with that. Okay. This is a great question from Lizzie. What about personal information as far as job applications go? Many of them ask for everything, phone number, addresses. Are there security laws, regulations protecting against these types of platforms? Any thoughts, advice on that?
There are laws. I think legally they're allowed to keep it for at least 5 years if you didn't get the job. And I think it's like 10 years if you did get the job. You can always go back and ask them to remove their data, but I guarantee you the legal team will probably say no. That is one you're probably going to have to bite the bullet and give your real information. I don't give my phone number out. My real phone number, like I said, I do the Google Voice or a cloaked number. But yeah, I think that unfortunately you have to give your real name because if you do get hired, they're going to do background checks and then they're going to wonder.
10 years? So I applied for a job. They can have my information for 10 years?
I think legally, it also depends on the country. If I remember correctly, when I was working at the law firm a couple of years ago, I think if you didn't get the job, they have to keep it for 5 years just for them. They say they need it just to make sure that you're not going to continue to reapply and then get turned down and then finally get accepted. But I think 10 years if you actually worked for a company, because I think that's like this kind of a statute of limitation type of thing for suit. I'm not a lawyer, so don't take my advice, but that's what I've remember like explaining to people. It lasts a pretty long time. So
I've gotten, just in this conversation, I've gotten several texts that have come through from people that are here on Trade Secrets team or just even the chat. And I just got one from someone that works at Trade Secrets. I just got a notification from McAfee that my Twitter was breached on the dark web this weekend. So the timing is great. Then between the Bachelor guy getting hacked, I feel like every person in some level or degree is feeling this, at least in the last 12 months. It's just so prevalent. So extremely, extremely timely. And I think the work you're doing, the education you're putting is just so helpful for all of us out there. We'll do one more here. If you have any questions, guys, get them in tomorrow. I'm a little confused on your question. Can you come on and ask? You asked about the difference between Canada and US social media influencing. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that? If Blake, you can unmute. Tamara.
Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes.
My question is there a difference with social media influence between Canada and U.S.? Because most social influences based in the U.S., U.S. marketing, U.S. influence. And in Canada, it's not as widely thought as, because even with doing Amazon and doing anything with TikTok, we don't actually get any compensation for influence. So that's my question.
Yeah. So what I could speak to from that is we work with some Canadian influencers, and they actually, like you said, they have some type of limitations as to websites they can access, content they can see. As a result of that, there are two things. There are restrictions on the total impressions they can make that are different than the United States. So their total impressions are limited based on certain restrictions. As a result of that, usually their rates will be lower if they're in Canada. But that varies. It's not always true in every case. The second one is there are a lot of Canadian companies that we work with, and the first thing they say, they have money to spend, and it has to be a Canadian-based influencer, because that's where they're specifically trying to target the individuals they're marketing to and or their laws and regulations. So in that case, when they tell us that, we know we can get a premium because they have to fit within that confine. So it goes both ways as far as reach, but also selectability based on where the company's headquartered. Does that answer any the question a little bit?
Yes, it does. Thanks.
Thank you for the question. Well, those are all the questions that came in. You know, Caitlin, this is absolutely amazing to just hear more about this. It's also kind of terrifying. So I know I gotta tighten my stuff up, take Ramen and Pino right off all my passwords. So hopefully no one here gives that a shot. But Caitlin, where can people find everything that you have going on? Where can we learn more from you and you know, this code that you have coming out in a month that your manager just put on the chat? Where can we go find that?
You know, my manager's referencing, I'm doing a free like cybersecurity, online security guide that's coming out in the next month. And it's with literally all the companies that I use. And I was like, I should just recommend these because I get asked these questions all the time. So that can all be found on cybersecuritygirl.net. It's still a little buggy. I'm working through, I mean, it's there, but I'm working through finishing that up. And then the other thing is just on my platforms, like all this information can be found on my platforms. I have so many short form videos and I've kind of grouped them all. So it's pretty easy to find like what you need. And my social media handles are cybersecurity girl for TikTok and then cybersecurity_girl for Instagram. Same with YouTube, et cetera. If you want to find me on LinkedIn too, I forgot, was it Tanya that she was going into cybersecurity? So we have like a LinkedIn group and a Discord group for people that want to go and get into cybersecurity as well. There's a lot coming in the space. Book deal, hopefully to help people to stay and set up everything that they need to be secure, not just online, but in their home for internet connected devices, et cetera. So all that's coming. But if you probably just watch and follow either my social media or cybersecuritygirl.net, you should be up to date.
Amazing. We really, really appreciate all this information. Hopefully you save at least one of us some trouble as the hackers are on the rise. So thank you. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I just want to try to help everyone stay protected and get protected as much as possible. So thank you so much.
Amazing. Yeah, I love the consumer protection angle. Like the trading secrets you have behind this space is huge. So thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And we will see you soon. Thank you again.
New messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.